Today on VFN TV, we're going to be discussing how many in our country right now are questioning our government's leadership and their commitment to take out radical Islam and to confront and destroy ISIS once and for all. We're going to be talking about how does ISIS get all of their money and so much more. Joining us right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
This is what I saw this morning. The United Apostates of America. Boy, when I saw that, my heart dropped. But it really set it for me that America has become, by and large, apostate now.
Deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs have to be changed.
We've got our back up against the wall in a way that we haven't before. You're going to have to bow or you're going to have to burn. We're choosing to stand up, and if we burn, we burn, but we're not going to bow.
It was quite a shock for us because we used to watch the news on TV that ISIS took over Mosul, but we've never thought someday in a few hours we'll be out of our homes.
I mean, we're talking about not a 25-year, not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
We haven't seen this level of rain in the Lowcountry in 1,000 years. That's how big this is.
We in the administration and the government should give voice to the plight of Muslims living in this country.
I've come here to Cairo to seek a new beginning between the United States and Muslims around the world, one based on mutual interest and mutual respect, and one based upon the truth that America and Islam are not exclusive and need not be in competition. Instead, they overlap and share common principles.
We already know the news. We're trying to change that news.
You have to be blind not to know that America's in real trouble.
Christianity started as a relationship in Israel when God came to man. He went to Greece to become a philosophy, to Rome to become a religion, to Europe to become a tradition and part of the culture, and then to America to become an enterprise.
What I got so clear in a dream last night that I believe is pretty imminent for our country. They were invading the Southwest United States. There were droves. It was coming like a plague. They were ranked in these gangs, and these gangs were like military gangs. They had military equipment, but their ranking was based, I think, gained by their cruelty and by their insatiable desire to be even more cruel in the way they killed people. This was far more diabolical than ISIS. I mean, what I saw, just cutting off people's heads would have been merciful, is pretty imminent for our country, the United States.
Every day of freedom is like an act of faith. And if we should die trying to live, then at least we die like human beings.
You know, we're at that moment in time, and what are we going to do with it? Understand this, if God's on your side, you're on the majority side, no matter if the whole world is against you.
You were born under an appeal to me, and when there was no way, I made a way. And no matter how bad it looks today, how big the giants look, if you'll call on everlasting God and you'll tap into that covenant, you'll take out these giants.
He asked me to come and pray for him and also pray for the city. Would you extend your hands this way? Father God, we just thank you for our new chief, David Alexander. We thank you for the man of God he is. Lord, you said that the seat of the righteous will rise and the seat of evil will come down. And we just declare those words over the Gulf Coast, God, and we pray, Lord, that we would dedicate the city to you.
We've come this night to Capitol Hill to declare that our God is not Baal, our God is not Moloch, our God is not government, our God is not money, our God is not power, not pleasure, our God is not political correctness or any other man-made thing. We've come to this hill to declare that there is only one God, and he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of Israel and of all nations. He alone is the rock upon which this nation has come into existence.
If you want biblical times, you've got it. You want the book of Acts? It's coming. You want the days of Elijah? It's here. It's time to become the Elijahs of the day.
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
May I say just a word to those of you who are struggling against this evil? Let me say to you to always struggle against it with Christian methods.
How many times have you screamed and yelled at your TV because of secular media was saying things you know wasn't true, some sort of political persuasion? They weren't even, they were given 5-second blurb to a miracle of God, and you got upset with it. But you go back to it again and again and again. What can you do? This is an answer.
Lord, raise up mighty men and women. Raise up young people. Raise up voices, not echoes. Voices that can cut through and make politicians and judges shake in their boots. Raise up prophetesses. Put a sure word in their mouth. Let it hit the news channels. Let them.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. Joining me in a few minutes is Steve Kolesheski, and today's program is on ISIS and radical Islam. You know, in the wake of the San Bernardino attack, many today are questioning our government's leadership and their commitment to destroy and annihilate radical Islamic jihadist terrorists and to confront and destroy ISIS. We can no longer continue to bury our heads in the sand of denial. We must confront the reality that it is about Islam. We're going to talk in today's program about the revenue, the amount of money that ISIS is bringing in every single year to the tune of $1 billion. We're going to be talking about the myth that maybe just a tiny percentage of Muslims are radicalized, according to Ben Shapiro. And we're also going to be having a connect the dots moments that really helps us to understand that this is a narrative that's been going on for quite a while. And we're going to find out what our government is saying today about who they think they need to defend and who they feel they need to protect. But before we do, I want you to see the revenue that ISIS is bringing in every single year. If we were serious about dealing with ISIS, the very simple and easy thing to do would be to attack their cash flow and to do it with quickness and with ease. Watch this. This would be easy to do. Choke the cash flow and stop the money that's coming in. Listen, just on taxation alone, $900 million. What does a terrorist organization do with $900 million? They commit more terror. Join us when we get back from this break as we continue to discuss this evil called radical Islam that's threatening the safety and security of people all around the world and what we need to do to help break this down. Join us when we get back from this break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Did you know it's our partners who stand with us every single month that helps VFN TV and VFN Radio come to pass? I want to encourage you, go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's very simple to do. And what we do is a thank you. You have access to the green room, which is different things that people don't have access to, different parts of the interviews, teachings, and specials, so much more, just to say thank you. Go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's so, so simple.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We're talking about ISIS and radical Islam, and we're talking about choking out the revenue stream, the cash flow of ISIS. This is not hard, Steve.
That's amazing.
This is not hard. We don't need to send a single boot on the ground, fly over a plane, and destroy the oil fields. Mm-hmm. Just destroy them. If you do that alone, you're knocking out $600 million, $50 million a month. Think about that. $50 million a month, you're destroying that. And so they're selling that in the black market. They're also raising $900 million, Steve, in taxation. That reminds me of a gang that would take over, let's say, in Los Angeles. Reports are that no one does business in the streets there, that they don't pay for quote-unquote protection for a gang that runs that area. Well, these are thugs. They're raking $900 million as a result of it. And you got to ask yourself, this is not rocket science. Mm-hmm. Why are we not doing everything possible to cripple their revenue stream? If you take away the money, they can't do anything. What can you do with money? And it goes to show you that it doesn't even take a whole lot of money to do terror. When you look at the attacks that happened in Paris, you had three attackers that took the field, maybe three or four, and then how many other, planned it, but people that actually carried it out. They had some machine guns, they had some ammunition, and some explosives. Maybe $10,000, $15,000, that's it? And they crippled an entire nation. I think France has a population of around 60 million people. And brought it to a standstill with a few thousands of dollars. Imagine now that they have millions that they can get their hands on a nuclear weapon. I mean, they already have the American military equipment that we left in Iraq, and so they're driving in our Humvees, the ones that Steve probably was in as a Marine when he was in Iraq.
Absolutely.
You gotta ask yourself what is going on.
Yeah, it's difficult to. When you see if you know that you're fighting a war, you have to identify and you have to acknowledge that the enemy even exists. So if there's this constant back and forth about, well, we don't know, we're not sure, if you're refusing to acknowledge it even exists, how can you remove it?
How can you fight an enemy that you don't even name?
Exactly.
That you can't even name. And this is not hard.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is like, why is this happening? There has to be more to this. And it's interesting that for quite a while, our country and its leadership, particularly this administration, feels that they, I don't know why, maybe have to defend Muslims around the world and even in our own country. But this is what the Homeland Security, Jay Johnson, this is what he said, what he feels are his responsibilities. I want you to watch this.
We in the administration and the government should give voice to the plight of Muslims living in this country. There are 1.6 billion Muslims in the world, and that the Islamic faith is one about peace and brotherhood.
why not protect everybody?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why? I don't understand. Why are we singling anybody out? But I mean, I get that we want to protect everyone. But even the president, his very first speech, Cairo, Egypt, he spoke in Cairo University, first international speech, a speech in which the president of that, at that time, Hosni Mubarak, the president of Egypt, didn't even show up to, because reportedly President Obama invited Muslim Brotherhood members to that speech. It didn't take long before Hosni Mubarak was no longer the president, and he'd been there for years, a generation, and the Muslim Brotherhood would be in power. Only for a year later, once they had elected Morsi to the presidency, that the people in Egypt went to the streets, Steve. They said one of the largest protests ever gathered in the world. And they indeed not only removed the Muslim Brotherhood from leadership in Egypt, but they prosecuted them, and they're arrested. They're in jail. Some of them are dead because they committed all kind of atrocities. They persecuted Christians. They burned churches. They even suspended their constitution and were working very hard to implement Sharia law. But our president spoke in Cairo University, and this is what he said.
And I consider it part of my responsibility as president of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear.
As the president of the United States, your responsibility is to defend the borders and a host of other things. But I would dare say that defending negative stereotypes of Islam and Muslims, wherever they exist, I wouldn't say that that's your responsibility. It's a big difference. I mean, your personal preference, what you like to do as a person, as a citizen, but in your function, your job title, and your description, that is not one of them. And so we can say, well, this was his first speech. This was something that he said. You know, we've all said things that maybe we wish could take back. I agree. I'm guilty. But then this is what he said at the United Nations, which causes some concern.
The future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam.
Why would the future not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam? Why would the future not belong? And here recently, statements were made by the Attorney General Janet Lynch. Soon after the San Bernardino attacks, she said, speaking to a Muslim group, and we'll have this related for you on the torch, and I'm paraphrasing, she's saying we stand with you, and that she actually advised and said that people will be prosecuted, Steve, prosecuted for any speech that would inspire violence towards Muslims. It's Loretta Lynch. Loretta Lynch. I'm actually getting confused with Janet Yellen, who's the chair for the Federal Reserve. But it's Loretta Lynch, and she's saying that she will prosecute.
And you have to ask, you know, who is deciding what type of speech this is, or what constitutes sparking violence and what doesn't? Because you're saying before, if someone is saying that for those who slander the Prophet of Islam, if you say Jesus Christ is Lord, that is considered blasphemy in the eyes of someone who is following Muhammad, and it's like. That's kind of a problem.
But in regards to her statement, she's saying that if your speech, your communication, however way you do it, if your messaging going forth inspires any violence towards Muslims, you will be prosecuted. Mm. And interesting enough, a few days later, she was walking back those statements as it was being reported. And so there's kind of a history of saying statements and then walking them back or spinning them later. But whatever the case may be, we've got to understand, why is there a need right now to be able to put out a narrative that says that Muslims are under attack? Listen, we don't want anyone to be under attack, but why not defend the entire homeland? Why not decide that you're going to say radical Islam is a threat when our nation just experienced the largest terrorist attack outside of 9/11? And what are we looking at? We're looking at a porous border with terrorists reportedly in our own country. How can we fight, like you said, Steve, an enemy that we refuse to identify?
That's right.
And I think about all of our servicemen.
Yeah.
And servicewomen who've given their lives, who sacrificed time from their children, their families, the comfort and convenience of their home to fight overseas, and only to see so much of that ground lost. I think it's a tremendous, tremendous tragedy. But when we get back from this break, we're actually going to continue to talk and unpack this some more, even talking about the president's address when he addressed the United when he addressed the nation regarding the San Bernardino attack from the Oval Office. You don't want to miss it. But before we go to the break, I do want to talk to you about our new special offer, Special Offer 2000. And you want to get it. You can do it just by partnering for any amount. We want to get it to you. We want you to be informed. And we want you to prepare yourself. It's called This Is an Act of War. Has the World War III begun? And is this the beginning of the mark of the beast? When the Paris attacks occurred, the French president, François Hollande, declared this is an act of war, and he closed the borders immediately. And he said that he and his country are going to retaliate, and they're going to get on this fight with this war against ISIS. And so in this message, you're gonna learn about, are we headed to the mark of the beast? You're going to find out about biometric identity tags. Yes, there is a plan already in place to give a digital tag, an identification mark, to all 7 billion people in the world. You think maybe not? Well, already 200 people have been digitally tagged in India. 200 million. And so there are reports that this is coming. This is coming. But it's essential and it's important that we actually wake up to these realities. The church has to be awakened that it is happening right now. And so the special offer is for you. Partner for any amount. That's how we do it. Partnership through partners and through our sponsors. We can continue to keep this conversation light and keep you informed. You can become a partner by going to VFNTV.com and select partner now. Or you can mail us at VFN TV, 6500 North Palafox Boulevard, 32505, Pensacola, Florida. And again, you can contact us at 844-408-3688. You can always reach us again at that number. Call us and partner today.
Our Father in heaven.
That.
Hallowed be your name.
Thy kingdom come.
Thine will be done.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day
our daily bread.
Forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those
who sin against us.
And lead us not into temptation.
Deliver us from evil.
Thine is the kingdom,
the power and glory,
forever and
ever. Amen.
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 Hi, I'm G with Spectacular Tubers, and we want to wish you a happy and a Merry Christmas.
Well, we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Even though you've said or done something as a parent that you wish you could take back, it's not too late. This is Focus on the Family Minute, and I'm John Fuller. Here's Jill Savage talking about the concept of do-overs.
As parents, sometimes we can look at ourselves and say, I haven't handled this real well. And there's nothing wrong with pulling our kids together and saying, I'm sorry, I have allowed you to get away with this, or I have not been a good leader to you, and we're going to start all over again. I'm going to set some ground rules. I'm going to set some expectations. And what a difference that can make.
It's never too late to admit your mistakes and start over. Sometimes that's the best thing you can do. Now, we've got more trusted advice to help you in your journey as a mom or a dad at FocusOnTheFamily.com/parenting.
You may be joining us today and you're searching to know God. Well, I want to encourage you, He's searching for you. You know, a couple of us have put our stories out available so that you can be able to connect with Father God through His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to go to meetmyfather.org. And when you go there, you'll see a bunch of our stories. And we try to share, not all of it, but some of what God has done in our own personal lives. Listen, coming to God and coming to the Father is not as hard as religious made it out to be. He's a real loving Father who loves you, who sent His Son so that you can have a relationship with Him. Go to meetmyfather.org and you can read some of our stories.
If you don't have a plan to abide with the Lord, we have one for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because it'll just begin to just revitalize your prayer life. And you'll find that not only are you talking to God, but you're dialoguing with the Lord and having this documented conversation. We have a plan for you. It's at iabide.org. It's a free plan. You can request it today, and it's amazing how your life will, you'll just have peace in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing when we do what God says and operate in the context of how He says do things. It's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be. Mm-hmm. And children are abiding with the Lord. Mm-hmm. I know as adults, we should be able to do that.
Oh, holy night, and the stars are brightly shining. It is the night.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We're talking about ISIS and radical Islam, and our government officials, are the president, the leadership, many are questioning the commitment to wipe out ISIS, to wipe out these attacks. Many people today, Steve, I mean, you talk to them in the community, they're fearful, they're concerned. Gun sales have spiked to numbers that are really just, I mean, alarming.
Mm-hmm.
Because why would so many people feel that they need to arm themselves and that the only protection that they can count on is not from the government, but the protection that comes from themselves? I mean, you have sheriffs in our communities throughout the country who are saying, arm yourself, protect yourself, do what you can. You have president of universities saying, Jerry Falwell Jr. said, listen, you need to take our free concealed weapons license class and you need to carry. And if someone comes on this campus to attack us, you need to be ready. Why are so many feeling this way? Because they feel that our country, the leadership is not doing much to protect us. They talk a little bit about what, you know, the president just gave a speech to the nation from the Oval Office, the second time that he's ever given a speech from the Oval Office. So it's pretty important.
Mm-hmm.
But he outlines a few things mm-hmm. in this speech.
Yes, it was a brief speech that he had, but some of the things that he did
very brief
amidst the events that have been happening. But the things that he did say, it raised a lot of concern, because what I noticed is that he had said that he was acknowledging the existence of ISIL, which is the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant, and we'll get into that. But he said it 17 times.
17 times?
I'm sorry, 12 times. I'm looking at my notes
12,
here.
12 times 12, in a 13-minute speech?
12 times in the speech. And he was also talking about the fact that this was, when he was speaking, the fact that this was the strategy to remove ISIL. But he said that he was going to be working with the closest allies. And as he was talking about the allies, one of the allies that he did not recognize or state was Israel. And it was asking that question, why are we saying ISIL so many times, but not even acknowledging our closest ally, which
is... There is a narrative going on. And Steve, I'm going to jump in because I want to connect the dots. You're so right in what you're saying. But we want to connect the dots in this segment that we have. Listen, we've been talking this for quite a while. And in this connected dot moment, we shared, is our government actually in agreement with the vision of ISIS to ISIL? See, there's a difference. When you say ISIS, you're talking about the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. When you say ISIL, you're talking about the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant. The Levant is a larger amount of territory. So it's almost as if when we're saying ISIL, we're in agreement that they're taking over this strategic plan. This is not a bunch of random people that are just doing radical jihad out of nowhere. They have a playbook. It's their part of their end time. This is part of what they believe is their religious call. I want you to watch this segment as we get some information about what is this all connecting. Where are we going with this? Watch this.
Remember, ISIS is that Islamic State in the southern part of Syria, the northern parts of Iraq, which they would tell you that is no longer Iraq. That's no longer Syria. I'm sure they probably would say this is the Islamic State.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear the word ISIL, that's a very interesting thing because words are very important. There's one thing that politicians understand, but there's one thing also that people that move in like Rules for Radicals is the narrative. You know, as Marshall Gantz said, you got to constantly change the narrative. But was to call it, you know, first radical Islam. No, we're not going to call it radical anything. Then we'll call it, you know, Hamas and Fatah and Hezbollah. And all of a sudden this deeper faction, you know, Al-Qaeda is dead and defeated. So we can't call this Al-Qaeda anymore. So let's call this, you know, ISIS. And so then it's ISIS. And it was so bad, they said, that the people that were in the former club called Al-Qaeda, they were looking and go, this is not us. It's so bad. You know, it's so bad. Reports are by Glenn Beck on The Blaze. He says even Iran is scared of them.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Even Iran is scared of them.
Himself.
Yeah, they're going like, you know, stop them. And you're looking at, this is Alinsky. This is Saul Alinsky's methodology. You got to get all these people who never got along to get them to unify over an issue. Doesn't matter what it is. And as you get them to unify, then you push your agenda. The thing about it is you can't organize Israel. You cannot turn the world against Israel and think it's going to turn out well for you. Mm-hmm. You cannot watch her assaulted like this and think that's okay. But it looks it's like Alinsky 101, Rules for Radicals 101, because you look right now, you're looking, Iran is there a concern they're willing to get on the page to weaponize the defense against ISIS? That's huge. But that's how it works. You have this radical group. 12,000, mind you, like the strongest military in the world couldn't deal with 12,000, you know, folks in the context of that. But then they changed the name to ISIL with an L at the end of it. When you look at ISIS, if you look at the name of it, which is pretty interesting because you heard some of the prophetic words that came out of VFN TV when the Lord was showing me how things were being set up, that Egypt was a very important part of that because we talked about God's set man that in the talk that I had about Josiah. And Josiah's son got put in power by Egypt. Well, ISIS, the very name ISIS is a name for a false god who actually gives the throne to the leader of Egypt. It gives the throne to the leader of Egypt. You think about that. So the first thing that it was called is this thing that I'm working on a plan to do something. I don't know. We're the strongest power in the world, and we could probably just, you know, whack. Or we're talking about bombing Damascus, not too long ago, and now we can't even kill 12,000 folks or stop these 12,000 folks that are beheading Arabs and Christians and Muslims. And so now you're looking at, they went from ISIS. So ISIS, that's a name of a false god that they believe, not they, but whoever conjured this god up, would give the throne, and that's who Pharaoh would sit on that throne. ISIS. Because a lot of times we're, you know, that's what you'll notice, mankind, they prophesy. They don't know they're prophesying. When you look like, we will rebuild with stronger stones, from honed stones, you know. And the mayor of New York has no idea. He's quoting scripture that says New York's going to fall. I mean, he has no idea. Potentially, that's what's going to happen. And the sycamore is the only thing standing up. You can find out more about that in the VFN Torch. But, and so they're saying, when they're declaring ISIS, 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 you know, people say, well, that kind of logically means, well, wouldn't you think it would line up with the very same thing? The ones sitting on the throne, who's going to sit on the throne of Egypt? Who's going to sit? And somebody says, well, that's a different country. Well, it is presently because of British occupation and the dividing lines and all that. Right. But the current leadership does not approve of those colonization of the Middle East. I think that according to the president, former president of King's College, who had a movie called Obama 2016, he talked about that. That you have to understand what this is how our leader's thinking. This is the reason why he sent the bust of Winston Churchill back, because they colonized, they cut all those boundaries up and put leaders over it. What we call today countries, that was one thing called Palestine, you know, the Ottoman Empire. And so when you study history And if you're over there in that region, you're studying history, you say, you know, we were all together before we were all divided up by Great Britain. Mm-hmm. And you think the next particular person they have lined up to be able to potentially suffer the same fate as James Foley is British.
Mm-hmm.
But the crazy thing is the very one who did it is British.
Yeah.
It's all tied together. You have to understand when somebody's saying I'm against how they colonized us and we want to become one again. The thing about it is you got to back it further than that. Like, okay, so why did this ever happen? It's because you were making war against your forefathers were making war against the world, and they had to come in and say you can't do this. And we've taken this all over, but we're going to give it back. But this is how we're going to give it back.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to divide it up like this and. You know, it'd be separate, you know, and that type of thing. And so there's a reason why it doesn't just happen. You can't just back up the history to a certain point and just go from this point on. We'll forget about all that. That I tried to kill
Let's
you,
get the
behead
whole
you.
Story here.
You know, we'll forget about all those different things. And so, but there's a reason. There's logic to what they're doing in their own minds. The ones that are pushing for this caliphate, which is, the Quran is the constitution for a government. Governmental move, basically. But so when they move from ISIS to ISIL, that's what even nails it even further, because ISIL represents Levet, I believe it's called, but it's the Mediterranean, it's the whole caliphate, it's all the countries. So when our president goes along with the narrative and he goes ISIS, okay, ISIS comes in and begins to come into Iraq, you have the president of Iraq stepped down, not through elections, but forced down through this evil force. And then all of a sudden our president says, okay, this next man's now the president. No, there wasn't democracy didn't happen there. Democracy happened to put the president in that was there.
Al-Maliki.
Yeah, Maliki. But the one that came into power came in because of ISIS coming down. Then all of a sudden, okay, now we'll come and help out on the mountain. We'll come and help out a little bit. And then, because the goal of ISIS, according to them, is to have the a caliphate, to have all these the Ottoman countries to be able to be under one rule and have an Islamic state. And so to call it ISIL is like being in agreement with the narrative.
Right.
Instead of just going, why don't we call it radical Islam like we did prior to 2008? Mm. Why don't we just call it radical Islam? Why don't we put that back into our libraries again, into CIA and to the FBI libraries, into Homeland Security again, to begin to see those that hate our country, that hate our Constitution, that hate what we stand for as enemies of the state. And it's like it's all tied together, and it's like that just, it just blew me away. When ISIL, the L stands for, I believe it's Levet, but we'll have it on the torch for you, Levet, which represents all those, you're in the Navy and you do a Mediterranean cruise, you're covering through all those nations that kind of come right up, countries that come up right against the Mediterranean. That's what the L represents. In other words, I want the Islamic State to be bigger. I'm in agreement with the Levet. I'm in agreement with this thing coming down. I'm not saying that he is. I'm just saying, but when you say that, they were going to take it on. It's like, hey,
mm-hmm.
He's in agreement with us. He's for us. And I know that one of the CBN reporters were being interviewed, and they were over there in northern Iraq, and they're in the early days of this, radical Islam situation called ISIS, that they asked the question, what is your motivation? What is driving you? What is the thing that's causing, what is this thing to get you up in the morning and want you to go behead someone? What is it? What's empowering them, emboldening them? And this is what the reporter said, the CBN reporter said, they feel that the president of America supports what they're doing. And they even had things, it doesn't mean that's true or not, but that's what the reporter said. That they said that they are saying that the reports that they feel like that he was for them. And now we just thank God for him standing up and saying this is wrong, this is evil, and it needs to be eradicated. And we just pray God give him a plan, to do something about it. But know that when you're the enemy of Christians and Jews and America and Israel feels like America is with them, the leader's with them. That's what they were saying. That's what the reporter said. That's what they feel emboldens them to be able to do what they're doing. I mean, you think about that. That's not a good scenario.
No.
No.
Wikipedia defines the Levant you were talking about as beginning with Iraq, Syria, and other territories in the Levant region, which includes Jordan, Israel, Palestine, Lebanon, Cyprus, and, of course, part of southern Turkey.
So when you say ISIL, you say push Israel into the sea. Mm. When you say ISIL, Levant, right? Mm-hmm. When you say that, you're saying Israel needs to be done.
It is so important to see how these dots are connecting mm-hmm. and how this is a narrative that's been going on for quite a while. And it's because the thing is that, you know, as Americans, Steve, we have very limited, you know, attention span. Mm-hmm. We hear some information. Hopefully it's correct.
We're going to see how it all relates.
Yeah. And then we forget about it because there's another shiny object to the right of us and mm-hmm. we get distracted. And so understand that this has been going on for quite a while. We're going to go to break. When we get back from this break, we're going to continue to unpack and share with you some more insight about what's happening right here in our country. But before we go to break, I do want to talk to you about the Vine Seminar. It is coming, and it's very, very exciting, and I believe that you want to be a part of it. The whole Vine Seminar is about rethinking and going back to the original intent of the church. So many today are crying out for a genuine move of God, and they're wanting to walk in Christian community. They want to walk with a family of believers that are committed to Jesus' teaching and to what Jesus told us to do, make disciples. Watch, get connected, and sign up for the Vine Seminar coming soon.
So what do you do? I mean, you got this difficult times that test men's souls coming to the earth. What does the church do? We just go back to the original intent of the church. It's not as complicated as religion has made it out to be. And it's not hard. But it's the one thing that's being fought the most in society. It's called relationship. Hmm. It's called loving one another, spending time. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is gentle. Those things only happen in the context of a relationship. Mm-hmm. Discipleship's caught in relationships better than taught in some particular classroom type setting. When you look at the church in its original intent, do you think it did? Was that a mistake? You know, the fact that they were meeting together and eating together and did they just not figure out how to build a huge complex yet? I mean, mm-hmm. what's going on? But then you go back and go, well, the fear of the Lord was there, that miracles was happening amongst them, signs and wonders, mm-hmm. and they dedicated themselves to the apostles' teaching. But it's really, you know, we went on this journey some time back, you know, understanding what does it mean to be the church, you know, and he says, go ye into all the world, but yet we have this come ye type mentality, right? Mm-hmm. Come ye to my church, come to my building, come to my meeting, come to this thing. And it's like, but no, we're not going out. And by not going out, other things are going out and promulgating something different than the gospel darkness. And we had to find out we're supposed to be a go-y church instead of a come-y church, that God, as Christians, we're supposed to go out. As we begin to understand that and walk that out and say, you know what, we're going to do, if it takes 10 years, we're going to do exactly what the Lord said and begin to walk that out. And what we found out in beginning to walk out the pattern of the church, that God loves it. He is so into his kingdom. The fullness of, like, you know, one man said, it was like stepping out of a flower pot into the fourth chapter of Acts, the things that begin to happen. And it's exciting. It's exhilarating. And God wants to be, you know, God, we got the word of God back to the church. We got to get the church to pick it up again. But God wants his church back. He wants us to be loyal to his voice and to follow him. There's only one church, the church under Jesus Christ as the head.
That's right.
And he wants his church back. What we did was we said, you know, how can we put something together to share our experience? We call it the Vine Seminar. You think about it. Jesus said in John chapter 15, he said, you know, it's impossible. It's impossible to be fruitful unless we abide in him, abide in the vine. He says, I'm the vine. My Father's the gardener. You're the branches. And so what we did, we came together and we put together what we call the Vine Seminar. It's a Friday, Saturday, and a Sunday. It's a limited amount of seating in it. You can sign up for it at vfntv.com under events. You'll see Vine Seminar there. And we want to just share our experiences. And it's not as hard. It's, you know, you're gonna enjoy church again. If God's calling you to begin to walk that way, then you're gonna begin to enjoy it. It's an amazing thing, you know, And I really believe from what we've seen, and that the Spirit of the Lord is so pleased when we come together and love each other and spend time with each other and dedicate ourselves to His Word. He shows up in a powerful way and heals and delivers and signs and wonders and miracles and dreams. Find out more. Go to VFNTV.com, upper right-hand corner, see events. Hover over that. You'll see Divine Seminar. Sign up for it today. It's limited space. Make sure you get in.
This is VFNTV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We want to encourage you to partner with us today at VFNTV.com. It's you, our partners, who help us together share the gospel all over the Gulf Coast. You can do that today by going to VFNTV.com, and the benefits are numerous. Specials, green room, teachings, and so much more. Be a part. Join us today, and let's do this together. VFNTV.com.
John, I am just so thankful for those that stand with us, you know, to be able to keep the light going.
Yeah.
And it's our partners that stay with us on a regular basis. You know, it doesn't matter what size, a gift, and just kind of give financially and prayerfully every single month through partnership. I don't know if you have not yet partnered. You can actually go to VFNTV.com and just click on partner now, and it walks you through the prompts. There's so many benefits just to say thank you. One is the teachings. There's just all kinds of teachings, prophetic teachings, teachings to encourage you. But there's also specials that are only for our partners. We had to find something special for you too, to say thank you. And there's specials that we have for you. And then green room, there's, you know, some interviews that we had that we asked other questions that we don't get a chance to ask on air. And we just put that, you know, in the green room for you. And it's a thank you. It's obviously just standing alone, standing for the light. And this is what the Lord says: when you stand together, you get the same reward. I want to encourage you to go to VFNTV.com and click on partner now. We need you to stand with us.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We're talking about ISIS, radical Islam, jihad, and we're talking about why is there a need to protect and you know, defend the plight of negative stereotypes of Muslims wherever they exist, is what the president said in his speech to Cairo and in Cairo, Egypt. And it's interesting, Steve, as you were talking to me during the break, about the title of that actual talk, that speech.
Yeah, it was called A New Beginning. And you have to really ask, I mean, this was a title that was put on when, and every time that the president speaks, you see the crest, you see the name come across before the
seal.
The president seal before he begins speaking, and they titled it A New Beginning. President Obama speaks to the Muslim world. And when you begin to see all these things that we're talking about,
was this prophetic?
Oh yeah. You really begin to see the, you know, we talk about connecting the dots, and you see all these things coming together, and it's a pretty clear picture.
Hone in and look at the picture, but I also want you to see that we're going to be referencing this book. If you haven't gotten it, it's called It Is About Islam. Glenn Beck is the author, and some other people worked with him, but they didn't want to put their name on this book. It's very, very well researched. And he talks about, which I think is really interesting, he says, when you say that when you say that the siege against America underway today is about Islam itself, the PC crowd gasps, and they say you're attacking a religion or disrespecting people's right to worship how they choose. And he continues to write that that's nonsense, that, you know, Americans don't have a problem with people worshiping a supreme being. In fact, our Constitution says you have the freedom of religion.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about all the religions that exist in the world today, and those that are practiced in America. I mean, think about it. You have Buddhists, Christians, Jewish, Muslims. I mean, you just keep going on and on. Mormons. I mean, just there's so many. There's so many. And no one is targeting or saying anything about any other religion, but what they're saying that there are some ideologies. There is something here that's causing others that are to run with it, that's ending in people dying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he goes on to say, of course, not every Muslim in the world is predisposed to violence, and not everyone thinks that, you know, who is a Muslim, that America is the great Satan. But they are and nor do they, every Muslim believes that, you know, it's their goal to spread a caliphate.
Mm-hmm.
However, that there is a distinct difference between the religion of Islam and Islamists. Islam is a religion of 1.5, 1.2 billion people around the world. But Islamist is a supremacist political ideology that insists on imposing Sharia law and Islamic holy law on the world. It's a fusion of religion, politics, and they want a caliphate. The end game is a world domination, and that's where they're headed to, the Islamists. But he says what is a little bit concerning, mm-hmm. Is actually some statistics about what Muslims feel here in the United States. But a June 2015 poll from Muslims living in the United States by the Center of Security Policy showed that a shocking number, 51%, Steve, seek to embrace Sharia law over the Constitution. These are mm-hmm. people that live here in the United States. Mm-hmm. He goes on to say that in addition, nearly one in four Muslims polled believed that it is legitimate to use violence to punish those who give offense to Islam, for example, portraying the Prophet Muhammad. And then he says one in five respondents agree that the use of violence is justified in order to make Sharia law the law of the land in the country, while only 39% believe that Muslims in the U.S. should be subjective to American courts. We have an issue. We have an issue, and we can no longer bury our heads in the sand
mm-hmm.
because according to Kamal Saleem, that there are at least 450 radicalized jihadists who have entered our country, and that's back in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
That's nearly 5 years ago, going on 6 years ago. And we have to awaken to this reality, and it's time for us as the church not to shrink back and be destroyed, but to press in and persevere and continue to preach the gospel and shed the light and pray for a turning, a breakthrough in this area. I believe the best days for the church and for our country is still ahead of us if we respond. Mm. Listen, we want to take this time to pray with you, and we ask you to please continue to pray for us. Father, Lord, we thank you, God, for truth. We thank you for this opportunity to be with those that are viewing the program today. And we ask you, Lord, to awaken us as the church, to awaken us, Lord, to your calling, God, on our lives to spread the gospel, to spread the good news. Father, we pray, Lord, for millions of people around the world that they would awaken to you as Savior and Lord, God. We ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Dear God, end abortion, send revival. Amen. Thank you for joining us. God bless you. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
I think about Gideon. You know, God gave Gideon a torch and a sword. That's it. And 300 men to be able to deliver an entire nation. But what was it? It was based on a revelation, a word from God, a now word, a conversation from God that Gideon believed and carried it out. Do you know what we have? We have what's called the VFN torch. You get to it by going to VFNTV.com. And what we feel, we try to share the conversation we're having with our listeners. We really try to seek the heart of God, and we share it. But on the VFN Torch, we have segments of those conversations, those programs, and the programs themselves. First hour, the extra hour, plus different programs and videos and more content that you can't see video on the radio, but you can see it at the VFN Torch. You got to go there. You have get right to prophetic words, wisdom moments, good medicine, which is, you know, a merry heart. It's like good medicine, all the little humor moments that are there, original intent of the nation, original intent of the church, and so much more is available. You got to see it. You can actually subscribe to it right on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch.